Bibles, Matthew chapter 14, Matthew chapter 14. Good news! We're halfway through the book of Matthew. And so, I don't even want to go back and look. I fear that it's, have we been in Matthew? We've been in Matthew a long time, but it's a fantastic book. It's a daunting book for me. What we covered last week is the retelling of John the Baptist and his death. It is then right after this, Jesus gets the word. Let's begin with verse 13. We'll read Matthew 14, verse 13 through 21, and I'll try to give a little introduction, and then we'll jump into the message this morning. Matthew 14, verse 13 says, "When Jesus heard of the death of John the Baptist, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick." Verse 15. "And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, 'This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals," or food. "But Jesus said unto them, 'They need not depart. Give ye them to eat.' And they say unto him, 'We have here 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, 'Bring them hither to me.' And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled," all you can eat, fish and chips. "And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children." Title of the message this morning, When Faced with the Impossible. Let me just give you a little background to this story. I'm not going to focus on the behind-the-scenes story, but you'll see a desert place is mentioned twice in verse 13 and then in verse 15. Look at verse 13. It said, "When Jesus heard of the death of John the Baptist, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart." He went alone. He got alone with the Father. I will tell you, I believe this was obviously Jesus is omniscient. He knows all things. It didn't surprise him. But Jesus in his humanity that was in complete submission to his divinity. So Jesus could never have sinned. But Jesus had emotions. And I will tell you, John the Baptist, Jesus said there was no man born of a woman that was greater, of the natural process of a woman. And so there was no one greater. And I'm telling you, when John died, here's what I believe. You'll see this in the other Gospels. You'll see that the feeding of the 5,000 was right around the Passover. And so I think it's only 1 year from around this time that Jesus will be crucified. It's the third Passover that's mentioned in the Gospel of John. There are only 3 Passovers that are mentioned. It doesn't mean that the Bible mentions every single Passover that Jesus participated in. But I will tell you, he either had a 2.5 or a 3.5 year ministry, somewhere between them. And so if this is the last Passover before he'll have the third Passover where he eats with his disciples and the next morning he's crucified, then it's 1 year from now. There's also some evidence of that because remember, right before the feeding of the 5,000, the apostles come back and they are all excited because Jesus had been sending them out. So, you know, imagine roughly a 3 year ministry and he's training these men. He's training these fishermen. He's training these tax collectors. He's training these zealots. None of these guys would have been in your top 1 million of potential theologians. But good news, neither would we, right? Jesus will use you too. And so he's training these men, and he's training them so that 2,000 years later, Randall, we still have the gospel. So what he's doing in the midst of training, he goes, "Okay, go!" Now he gave them great power, great gifts, great authority, where they could raise the dead, heal the blind, the lame to walk, the the deaf to hear, and they could do those things. Again, using those things to draw a crowd and then preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So right before the feeding of 5,000, they come back, and I'm telling you, just like, you know, you want to make a Baptist angry, it's don't feed them. And so the Bible says they were so busy, they had no leisure even to eat. And Jesus says sweet words of music to their ears. They're already probably feeling spiritual. When we serve the Lord, we overblow it, don't we? We're like, I know, just, you don't need to say anything. Look, it's an honor to serve the Lord. Look, does God need us? No. I just want to ask you this, with this miracle, did Jesus need the 5 loaves and 2 fish? He did, but he used them. And you know what I love? He used every single one of them. He needed none of them, but he used all of them. I want to tell you this, it's a thrill and a privilege and an honor to be used of Christ. We should never be impressed with ourselves. So they come back and Jesus says, hey guys, you're doing a great job. You're working hard. Let's get some rest. Let's find a private place. Impossible when you're Jesus. Let's find a private place and let's go get some rest. And they're like, we knew we liked you. And so what happened though is the multitude, you see this? We see this in Matthew. They got into a ship and they went to a desert place. And so if you know where they were at along the Sea of Galilee, you can see across the Sea of Galilee, you know, hey, there's Jesus' ship. You can run around, right? And they all follow him. Now, do you have an understanding of the size of the crowd? You know, we call it the feeding of the 5,000, rightly so, because it was counting the men. But it says besides women and children. And so if you want to add women and children on a typical basis, you're probably talking 4 to 5 times the 5,000. So we're probably talking somewhere between 15 and 25,000 people. You kind of got a perspective of that, right? Maybe it's more, but somewhere between there, because he counted the 5,000 men. And so the disciples are like, hey, we found a desert place, and the time is far spent. And so there's two ways to face the impossible. We're going to look at those this morning. I want you to understand this. When God puts us in an impossible situation, it's very purposeful. And Jesus was teaching the apostles some great things here. They didn't pass the test. They utterly failed the test. I'm not going to show you that this morning. If you want to, in a personal Bible study, I'll show you. Here's what I'm convinced of. The apostles missed one of the greatest miracles that the Bible talks about. The people that were fed didn't. Because the Bible says, when they saw the miracle, they wanted to make him king. So however Jesus multiplied the loaves and multiplied the fish, the people that were fed saw it and they go, wow, I want free fish and chips for life. And so, but the apostles, they were angry at Jesus. They were mad because they didn't get the rest they thought Jesus promised them. I do want you to know this. They did find a desert place. But there's something greater than our rest, and God's not opposed to us getting rest. It's the needs of people. But here's what I want to show you this morning. I want to show you by this passage. There's two ways for us to respond to the impossible. The impossible. And when I talk the impossible, it's the spiritually impossible. Typically, our prayer requests, and I get it, I understand it, and there's no criticism for this. Our prayer requests are typically the physical, right? Because the physical dominates us, right? When we fast and pray, it is not to discount the physical needs. It's not at all. God wants to hear from us. God tells us that he wants to hear our prayers when we are infirmed and when we're sick. And so, but I want to tell you this. When we fast and pray, it's going to be over the spiritually impossible. And I want us to understand that. So when I talk this morning, when faced with the impossible, I want to tell you, it's when faced with the impossible, how will we respond? So let me just give you a reality check here. Where is Hope Baptist Church located?
Hey, I know, you guys are like, I didn't even get that Bible verse. No, it's Fairfield, Ohio. It's not a difficult question. You guys should have all been like, I'll answer that one. Fairfield, Ohio. I want you to understand this. We haven't been successful. God's given us some gifts and some remnants and some people, and I'm thankful for that. But if I told you we're going to reach the entire city of Fairfield, Ohio, what would you think?
Amen.
Amen. I love that. That's why I love Riot being here. Oh, you guys are like, I don't know, I'm going to wait for Riot. Amen. But I want you to know that. Here's what we could do. We could do two things. One, how's that been going the last 10 years, Steve? Slower than I hoped. And so we could base our reaction on the past. And we could base our reaction on the impossible. But I want to tell you this. God cares more for the city of Fairfield than anybody in this room. God cared more for this multitude than the apostles did. Now you have to understand this. The apostles, they were starting to be used in a great way, and yet they responded, because here's the reality. Had the apostles seen Jesus make the blind to see, the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, had they seen the dead raised? But I have this question for you. Had they ever seen him multiply food before? They had. There's no evidence that they had prior to this. I know you guys are saying the water and wine, but that was a private thing. And so, so just in case you guys are back there going, no, stop. And so, I'm talking in a dramatic, public way. And so, they hadn't seen that, and so they base their past experience and go, well, you know, if we, because he was healing the people here, right? Two ways to respond. The first way I want you to see two responses is one, bowing to the flesh. Bowing to the flesh. And I'm telling you, that this is, when I get a flat tire, do I go, in all things, give thanks? I'm like, Lord, thank you for this flat tire. Is that my response? No, my response is first to call my wife and say, hey, I need you to change a tire. But it's my first response is not a glorious response to say, oh, I'm so excited that my tire's flat. I'm like, you know, I mean, and a tire being flat is nothing in the grand scheme of things, is it? But I immediately respond in the flesh. And I'm telling you this, when we're faced with the impossible, we might respond in the flesh. I want you to see how they did. Their first response is send them away. Send them away. Send them away. Now, they had a great excuse. Here's what they said. Send them away. What was their excuse? They don't have anything to eat. And it was well past. It was in the evening. When Jesus came out from this desert place, he saw the multitude, he had compassion on them. That word compassion is his innermost being was moved in such a way where he goes, I'm going to do something. And he healed them. And that's what they were there for. They didn't seem worried about food. But Jesus cared. And here's the apostles. Send them away. Send them away. I'm sure they thought just like you. I'll witness to them another day, Jesus. I'll tell them about you another day, Jesus. Just send them away. You know, we're tired. I'll get to them later, Jesus. And I love Jesus. Jesus has such a sense of urgency. He has different eyes than you and I. Do we have the eyes of Jesus? They said, send them away. But look at verse 16. He said, they need not depart. I'm telling you, I want to learn from this passage. I want to see the multitudes. I want to see the people that God brings into my life. And there's times that I still, by God's grace, I'm thankful for this. I have a lot of energy. But, believe it or not, I have less energy than I used to. I feel like by the time I'm probably 65, I'll be like a normal person. And so you guys are like, that's impossible. My wife would agree with that, but she's not here. And so I love my energy, but it is kind of funny. I don't know if it's because of COVID, but I do get tired more. And I don't like it. I like going. And I love it, and I'm
maybe I've abused it, but what I want to do is I want to see the eyes of Christ. I want to have the sense of urgency of Christ. I was just writing some things. He said they need not depart. He had a sense of urgency. That crowd would never be replicated again, ever, during his earthly ministry. That crowd was unique that night. That crowd was there for one and only one time. Are we going to send them away, or am I going to minister to them? What Jesus says, I'm going to minister to them. But you know what our flesh says? You know what our flesh says? Send them away. Send them away. They need to eat. We're not really caring for the people. Send them away. We can make excuses. But I will tell you this. What did Jesus do? He had eyes of compassion. Compassion leads to action. He had eyes that saw they have eternal souls. Listen to this in Mark, dealing with the same passage. It says, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. You see, I know this. I've been there. You've all been there. We've done this. I'm not here to beat you up about it. I'm just telling you, oh God, give me different eyes. Oh God, don't have me be a send-away Christian. Oh God, don't have me be a tomorrow Christian. Oh God, don't have me be another day Christian. The opportunity when God brings somebody into your life is right there. Don't send them away. Jesus didn't. And there's going to be times where you'll know that the opportunity has closed for that moment, and you pray for them and you love them. I'm not asking you to force things down people's throats. I'm not asking you to cram things down people's throats, but I'm going to tell you this. I so hardly ever meet people that are bothered by my witness. And I mean, I try to see if I can, and it's so rare. They're not bothered. But my flesh says, send them away, because you know I'm very calendar driven. I've got an appointment. I've got a Bible study. I've got this. And I'm telling you, I'm at fault. I'm at fault. One of the things I will personally pray about when we fast and pray as a church is I need Bible studies with lost people. I have zero Bible studies with lost people right now. Now, I praise the Lord. He saved many that have had Bible studies. But I will tell you this. This is a freebie. How many people, Ryan, do you think God will use me to lead to Christ right now, this week? Zero. If I'm not teaching a lost person. Ryan, how can I expect a lost person to be saved if I'm not teaching? But we sit around in churches and we wonder why God's not saving people. Well, my question is, are we just sending them away? And my question is, who are we teaching? Don't expect anybody to be saved if you're not teaching anybody. Zero will be saved. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. God is the God of salvation. I can't save anyone. But I'll tell you this, I love to be part of the process, right? You know, the Bible uses, you know, the whole principle of babes in Christ and spiritual babies and all that, right? So just know this. If you're not involved in the baby-making process, you'll have no babies. Amen? Amen? Amen, right? And we sit in churches and they're like, you know what? I don't like that, Pastor. We haven't been seeing anybody saved. Well, I think the pastor needs to look in the mirror and ask himself, who am I pursuing? Who am I teaching? Who am I sending away? But I'm telling you this. For a church to be a church of the Lord Jesus Christ in the way that the Lord Jesus Christ expects, it is, we are teaching people that are lost. I'm begging God again. You remember this, and I don't want this to happen again. The same thing happened last year. I am begging God. We do not want to repeat. Now, I love what happened afterwards, but I went 4 months. I remember this, November, December, January, February of last year, and I don't want it to happen again. And I November, December, January, February last year, I didn't have one Bible study with a lost person for 4 months. And it's not God's fault, it was mine. And God blessed me then. You remember this? It was so glorious. I went from zero to nine in just about 2 weeks. And it was good. But I'm going to get ahead of the curve this year. I'm like, Lord, we are entering into November. Well, we're entering into December. And so, I know. And I want to ask God, oh God, don't let me send them away. Don't let me send them away. One young man on my heart, and I am going to be obnoxious. You know why? Because I have zero lost people. Denzel's on my list.
Denzel. I don't know. I'm going to make Denzel say, leave me alone. I don't think he will. You think he will? I'm going to chase him. I mean, I'll tell you this. You know what? I will tell you this. Denzel has no idea what is confronting him with eternity. He doesn't know. He's a nice young man. And you know what? I'll just tell you this. He doesn't want Jesus because for him, all that Jesus represents is restriction, right? What I can't do. That's the way the lost world looks at it. Right? I'll tell you, I beg you this. If you have lost people in your life and you want me to pursue them, I'll pursue them. My preference would be that you would pursue them. My heartbeat is that you would pursue them. They will listen to you better than they'll listen to me. But I'll tell you this, if you are going to pursue them, you want to, I'll have a Bible study with your lost friends, with your lost family. I'm desperate. I don't want to send them away. I want to have the eyes of Christ. I don't want to respond to the flesh. And you know, my son looked at me, and I like my son. Most of the time. And he looked at me and he said, Dad, you're tired, aren't you? I said, I'm not tired. And he said, you're trying to be Superman. I said, I'm not. I want to tell you this. I gave our church a great compliment. I said this. You know, all I do right now is everything I want to do. You have blessed me as a pastor. You guys do so much that relieves me, and you allow me to teach, you allow me to do Bible studies, and you allow me to pursue people, and you've given me a great gift. I want to tell you this. I'm begging you for this. Here's one of my weaknesses. You will feel neglected sometimes as a people. I love you. I care about you. If you need me, you call me. Now, I need to be more sensitive and more regular just to say, hey, it's been spend time with you and all that, but I want to tell you this. Help me. Don't talk about me, and I don't know of anybody talking about me. Don't say, well, pastor never does this, pastor. I will. You just let me know. I care about every single person in this church, but I know this. I know what God wants me to do. I told my son, I said, I'm not trying to be Superman. I said this. And I said, all I want, I just want one more Bible study with one more lost person. I said, there's nothing better than that. There's just nothing better than that. I'm telling you, they say, what do you want for Christmas? I don't need anything for Christmas. You know, I said, I mean, I have an iPhone now. What else can you need? And so, iPhone now, what in the world? But, I lifted my pinky when I was drinking Crystal Light the other day, and I was like, that's from the iPhone. Anyway, thank you for the iPhone. I need to be more thankful. I want to tell you, my attitude, I'm just telling you, I'm not beating you up. You know what I can get if I'm not careful? Send him away. There's a new young man at Circle K, and I caught myself. He's a rough dude. He's a rough dude. I haven't witnessed to him yet. And I never said send him away in my heart. But when you begin to prepare for messages, when I was driving away this morning after getting my free Daikon do, I thought, well, why didn't I witness to him? He's a rough dude. You know what? And the Lord just reminded me, I love rough people. Amen. And so you pray for me. I want to do it in a way that'll intrigue him and that he might be interested in having a Bible study. But I've had the attitude of sending him away. Second thing how we can react is fatigue. These guys were tired. They were wore out. They had no leisure. I mentioned this as well. I want to tell you this. Something more important than our rest is the work of God. Third thing I want you to see is unbelief. They had unbelief. The reality is, Ryan, this is an impossible task. You know a little of the history. We've already had one false kind of, sort of maybe, attempt. Not to this level. It is, if you ask Americans, who are the spiritually most difficult people in the U.S. to reach, I think they would say, if you gave them a list, and you gave them a list of 10, and Muslims were on there, I think it would be number one by Americans. They would say Muslims would be the toughest people to reach. And so, it's an impossible task. We have to fight unbelief. We have to fight just discouraging moments. We have to realize this, that the only way we're going to have success is in Christ. I mean, just listen to this passage over in John. It said, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad, because Jesus told him, go
Go find out who has some food. There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves, and the loaves are about this big, not very big. Not big. 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Now the Lord had been testing Andrew, it says. He was testing Andrew because he gave him an impossible situation. Can you imagine if we had family fun night at Hope Baptist Church and 25,000 people showed up? That's a little much for me. I would give me 1,000. But 25,000 people show up, and I can see Gerald coming up and going, I got 225 hot dogs here. And I would say, what is that among so many? So I'm trying to make the apostles real people. You know, I mean, here they are, because it's a lad, a boy. He has 5 loaves and 2, and I'm telling you, it's 2 small fish. And so, unbelief. Unbelief. What was Jesus doing when he was trying Andrew? He wanted Andrew to get his eyes off of the circumstances, and he wanted to get his eyes on Christ. And I'm telling you, one of the things that I love, and I want to remember this. I never want to forget this. Jesus cares more about people than we do. I always want to remember that. I always want to remember that in our toil, in our trials, that Jesus cares more than we do. And I'm not going to worry about my unbelief. I just want to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and God can do great and mighty things. But I'll tell you this, if I live in my flesh, you know what I'm going to do? I will say I'm tired, and you know what? It's not going to work anyway. You know how you never try anything? If you listen to your flesh. If you listen to your flesh, you'll never try anything. And if you never try anything for the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing will happen. And you know what you'll eventually conclude? Christianity is boring. Because if you never try to serve and honor the Lord, you never step out and take a risk, then nothing's going to happen. And after a while, when nothing happens, you're going to think, this is a dud. Wow, look at that, the world. That's not a dud. I will tell you, we are all missing it. The greatest moment, the greatest joy of life is reaching people for Christ. There's nothing better. My son, he's a huge Bengals fan. Out of control. Bengals fan. He said, hey, Dad, I'm going to be in for this. He is nuts. He said, I'm going to be in for Christmas. We're going to stay over. Do you want to go to the Monday night football game? Not really. With us. You know, after Christmas, like January 2nd or something like that. January 2nd. And I said, you know, but here it is, you know, I hardly ever see him and I don't talk to him that much. Not that we get along, it's good, but there's this code that says, hey, are you okay that I haven't talked to you in 4 months? Yeah, I'm so sorry I haven't talked to you in 4 months. You say, that's horrible. Because I know there's somebody like, I talk to my mother every day. Happy for you. You're making enough of me. But so I made this mistake and I just out of guilt, I said, yeah, we'll go. And he says, I got a great deal. I got 2 tickets that only cost you $466. And I'm like, I said, I hate the Bengals. now we have this. The ladies aren't sure they want to go. Praise the Lord. And we're going to potentially sell their tickets. I hope the Bengals do well before that Monday night so ticket prices go up. But he's crazy. He's crazy about the Bengals. I want to tell you this. If the Bengals won the Super Bowl this year, if they won the Super Bowl, you've forgotten about it by April. Who won the Super Bowl 2 years ago? Who cares? Do you know who won the Super Bowl 2 years ago? You don't know. Who cares? Let me tell you this. When God gives you a baby, you'll never forget. You know what I love? When God saves a soul and he uses you in that process, it's better than the Bengals. You know why? You'll forget who won the Super Bowl last year or the year before, but when God gives you the joy and the privilege of seeing someone go from death unto life, you'll never forget it, and it'll forever change you. And I'll tell you this, the joy continues. The joy keeps coming. I want you to know this. Adam, I'm just going to bring you up. You are not discouraging today. you understand that? I am thrilled that you're here this morning. I want you to know this. I'll tell you this. I want you to keep on coming to church. I want you to keep on battling. You are not a discouragement. You're not a disappointment to me. And I'm telling you this. I love you, and I'm glad you're here. I want you to know that.
Amen.
I have loved Christ now so much, and he has loved me. And I'm telling you this. By God's grace, we'll love you, and I'll love you, and you'll always be my friend. You understand that? No matter what. I just want you to understand that. It's this. It's the work of God, the work of Christ is better than anything else in life. If you don't understand that, you haven't tasted it yet. But unbelief. Well, you know, God's just not going to do that. God can't do that. I will tell you, I am overwhelmed. I am overwhelmed. Just making that statement that says, we need to reach Fairfield for Christ. How about one person on this street? I beg God, oh God, can you give me one saved person on one side? I'm going to personally knock on every single door before Christmas Eve, and I'm going to talk to every neighbor again one more time. I'm happy to do it. I'll find out if they like us. If not, you know, they'll be like, well, there's one car in your congregation. I'll say, what car? It's a black Honda Accord. I'll say, I'll tell him to slow down. Now, I always go slow in this neighborhood, just so you know. But I beg God, I had this dream one day that Woodside Drive would be gloriously and delightfully and 100% unanimously changed to Hope Baptist Drive. Well, I think we need to see some people saved on Woodside Drive before that would ever be a hope. But I'm just asking God, I want to reach Fairfield, but you know how we reach Fairfield? One person on Woodside. You know, just a couple weeks ago, right over here on Planet, in Saturn, I think it was, wasn't it? Sandy Planet Saturn. 18-year-old young man, shot and killed. I haven't heard the final story of it. Right across the street. We had just door knocked at that house 2 weeks prior to that. We've got to stop worrying about what we can do. We can do nothing. Not be driven by unbelief. And then negativity. Let me just say this real quick. Do you love this? It's sort of like this. When Jesus says, what do we have? And Andrew said, we have 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. I mean, if he had said, and we have a whale out in the beach itself in Galilee, I don't think a whale could have fed the 25,000. What do you think? Do you think Andrew was being negative with the Lord? He said, we have 2 small fishes, just so you know. And maybe they're the hairy kind. Maybe they're anchovies. I don't know. But he said, we have 2 small fishes. Just negative. Right? I'm just telling you, I fill my heart too much with negative. And guess what? If you're negative, you're more likely to quit. You're more likely to say, send them away. Send them away. I'm not saying just to be goofy, positive. But I want to tell you this. Listen to your own words in your own mind. Are you just negative? I'm telling you, when you put yourself down, you know who you're really putting down? Now, when you put yourself down, you're putting your Creator down. Now, your sin is a different thing. But when you are unhappy with who God made, you're negative about who God made. You're negative about the Creator. And so I want you to understand this. There's 2 responses to the impossible. The first is bowing to the flesh. The second is bowing in faith to God. I want you to see this. Give all to the Lord, all that we have. This is, I just must understand this. Jesus is real. We kind of act like he's make-believe at times, like he's some kind of superhero that didn't exist. But can you imagine if one of the kids walked up, and I mean, kids do this every once in a while, right? They'll give me like Sour Patch Kids and that kind of stuff. That'd be great. That'd be awesome. I love Sour Patch Kids. So it is, it's healthy. I just read that the other day. And Diet Mountain Dew and Sour Patch Kids is like Breakfast of Champions. And so, you know, imagine if next week we're going to have our lunch and somebody brought everything they had. Jesus took everything that little boy had. And he used everything that little boy had. Now, what I love is this. The Bible doesn't tell us the rest of the story. But Jesus said, suffer the little children come to me, for such as the kingdom. I want to tell you this. You don't think that little boy, that Jesus sat him on his knee, hugged him, and said, feeding 5,000? 12. I'm just imagining that lad might have gone home with two. And his mama might have said, where did you get that? You won't believe me. You know, 5 loaves and 2 fish, and I don't know if he went home with some of those baskets full. But I just know that would be so God, wouldn't it? Can you outgive God? You can't. This little boy gave 5 loaves and 2 fish. It fed 15 to 25,000 people. And it glorified God. And Jesus was able to use this as help. And it was important to the apostles. I want you to know this. You know all that Jesus asked for us? He doesn't ask for us to be extraordinary. He just says, give what you have. Amen. Give what you have. Serve. Serve. Just plug away. Plug away. Plug away. Plug away. I love this. You know what? If you don't know what to do, pray. If you don't know what to do, sing. If you don't know what to do, go to church. Seek the Lord's face. Seek the Lord's face. Give what you have. Here's what most people in America do. They give the leftovers. They say, well, you know what? I just don't have time. You don't understand. You ridiculous Baptist, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And I'm not beating people up for attendance. God's blessed us here. People are here. They want to be here. It's good. I'm telling you, if I told you this a million times. If all of Christianity is about is church attendance, it's a dud. It's far more than that. I love coming to church. This is my favorite day of the week, not because I get to preach, because I get to be with you. I love Sunday school. I try, Stephen James, wherever you are, Stephen James. I try to be quiet. You know, I do. I just sit there and I'm like, I love hearing from other people, right? But then there's times I'm like, you know, I feel like Papa. I can't stand it. And I feel like I want to say something. Not me, want to. But you know what I do? I love to hear God's people excited about the word, just pouring over it, talking about it. To me, there's just no other place. I want to tell you this. This is a little taste of heaven. But when we leave this building, that's where it changes from a little taste of heaven. Because when we're in heaven, we will never depart the presence of the brethren. We will always be in the presence of the Savior. When we depart here today, we are to go. We are to reach. And you know all God says? Just give me what you have. The little boy, I expect to see that little boy in heaven. Not because he gets to heaven by works, but I think his faith was in the Lord Jesus Christ. I think the Lord Jesus Christ showed him, ministered to him, and we'll find out when we get to heaven. I trust that little boy was truly born again. He was saved. He put his faith and trust in Christ. Not in him getting 5 loaves and 2 fish. We're never saved by works. But I believe this. I can't wait to meet him. And I'll say, tell me the story. Tell me the story. There's 3 things to remember, and then I'll hurry up. 1, only God can do the supernatural. Now you say, oh, thanks for nothing, sir. I just want you to remember this. How many of you had to think about breathing today? That's what we would call natural. It's all under God's sovereignty. You couldn't breathe without God, just to be clear. But God, how he manages the universe, and I haven't figured that out yet. If you have, let me know. Write a book, I'll buy it. But when God manages the universe, he allows us, you know, what we'll call normal, fleshy processes. We breathe, we walk, we talk, we think, we kind of live life, right? Amen. But in order to see amazing things, it takes God. Never forget that. I'm telling you, it's a struggle for me. When I don't know what to do, you know what I do? I work. It's not because I'm a great guy. It's just probably I was overly trained that way. And I just don't know what else to do. It's not because I'm such a great worker. It's just my thing to do is, if I don't know what to do, I work. I'm not a sitting down kind of guy. You know what I'm telling you? That's a weakness of mine. You know what? Better to do when I don't know what to do. I need to get at the feet of Christ. I need to humble myself before the Lord. I need to seek his face. Because you know what I need? More than another hour of work, Jeff. You know what I need? Do you know what I need? I know there's a whole bunch of things. Your mind is racing. But what I really need, top of the agenda, I need the power of God. Jeff, nothing's going to happen without the power of God. because I need his supernatural working. When God saves a soul, it's all of God. It's all of grace. It's all of his goodness. And I praise the Lord for that. I want you to know this. Ryan, if we're going to be successful in this work, it's supernatural. We better spend time at the Lord's feet. Let me just tell you this. You better take good care of her. Because you know who you're accountable to? Me. No. You're going to help me be better to my wife. I'll help you be better to your wife. That'll be good. You're not accountable to me. But as a brother in Christ, you're not. But I'll tell you this. If you're mean to your wife, don't expect God to do my great mighty things. Just let me know, Jemima. I'm just kidding. Only God can do the supernatural. Second thing is, lost people can't help themselves. Are you fascinated in this story? I'm fascinated in this story where Jesus says, make them sit down. What's the point? Make them sit down. And they sat down in companies of 50 and hundreds. You know, so you do the math. If there's 15,000 people there, that would be, you know, that would be, that'd be 150 groups at 100. Right? You got 12 apostles. That 12 apostles would feed 12 groups. If you have, 20,000 people, that'd be 200 groups if they're all 100, but there are 50s and 100s. So we're talking there were a lot of groups. How they fed them, I can't wait to get to heaven to see that. But do you find it interesting that he had them all sit down? It's a reminder for us, what can lost people do for themselves? Nothing. And it goes along with the final one. You can see this. God's plan is for us to serve the lost. If God could tell the world, he'd say, sit down. And then he tells us, go serve. Stop, world. You can't help yourself. You're not good. There's none good, no, not one. You cannot improve yourself. You cannot make yourself better before me. And he would just tell the world, sit down. The question is, see, he's given us a simple message with the feeding of the 5,000. It's this. We can respond to the flesh and go, how dumb is this? There's not enough bakers in Galilee, Jesus, to feed these people, let alone within 60 minutes. I mean, Jesus, have you lost it? And he says, they need not depart. They need not depart. Make them sit down. And I'm telling you, by all evidence, there's going to be chaos. He makes the apostles. Can you imagine if there's 15,000 to 25,000 people? Let's just say 5,000. But that was beside the point. Let's just say 5,000 just because I know there are 5,000. 5,000 people be a lot of people, right? Can you imagine the 5,000? I mean, you guys ever seen me sometime before church? I was like, good morning, good morning, good morning. Hey, would you guys just stop and listen? Right? And so, it's like herding cats with just 100 people. Right? Can you imagine I have 5,000 people and Jesus says, make them sit down. They haven't seen the miracle yet. Make them sit down. And I have a feeling the apostles were grumpy. All right! Get together, 50s, 100s. Just, can you imagine they're going through the crowd? They're going through the crowd. Hey, just sit down. Sit down, you know. My little granddaughter, Ellie, I haven't mentioned her in a while, and I knew you guys were missing it. But she is now fully disobedient. And with an attitude. And so they were down on Thanksgiving with my son-in-law's side of the family, and they were trying to take family pictures. And Ellie is just now 13 months old. And so, you know, that's that age where you're like, I know you know, but you know, you're like, I can't wait till I know you know you know. And then, you know, you can help them understand. And so Ellie, you can see it in all the pictures. She's like, why are you guys sitting here? Ain't nobody telling me what to do. I am off. I mean, every picture, she's like. And it's like, can you imagine when the apostles tell everybody to sit down in 50s and 100s? And they're just wondering, what's he going to do now? And Jeff, they're ticked. You know why? They're tired. What else are they? just wondering, we might get to heaven and it might be Jesus blessed the four loaves. The two, just kidding, that's it. You guys didn't get the joke. But it's, I was almost about to explain it. But the 50s and 100s, it would be chaos. They have them all sit. And you know what the next thing Jesus does? He blesses the food. Before he's going to distribute anything, he'd rather serve blessed food rather than cursed food. And before we give anything to anybody, we better take it to the Lord. The greatest example ever is God in the flesh. He has these five loaves and two small fish. And he blesses them. I have a friend that's got a creative imagination. He told me this. He said, I think Jesus had blisters on his hand. Blisters? What are you talking about? He goes, for how many times he's breaking bread? I said, well, that's some creative imagination. I said, I wasn't imagining that's how it happened. But maybe we'll be down to find out. Jesus was involved. I want to tell you this. Are you going to wait till your attitude's just exactly right to serve the Lord? You need to be concerned about your attitude, and I need to be concerned about my attitude. But Jesus used apostles that were mad at him. I want you to go back and study this. Their hearts were hardened. They actually missed the miracle. But Jesus used them anyway. You know what I encourage you to do? Get your heart right. Get your attitude right. But you know what I encourage you to do? Serve the Lord. Randall, you guys are busy people. And I worry about you. I pray for you guys. I know this. I know you love every minute of it. But I worry about you. And that doesn't mean that you have to keep on doing everything that you're doing. Do you regret serving the Lord? No. You get tired sometimes? Oh, you do. Rachel, you get tired sometimes? And how young are you guys? That's ridiculous. But I want to tell you this. No regrets. Do you want to be involved in something great? All it takes is simple obedience. Give what you have, take it to the Lord, and he'll make the impossible happen.
Amen.
It is ridiculous to say Hope Baptist Church can reach Fairfield, Ohio. I wish God would do it. It's not his fault. It's my unbelief. It's my laziness. It's my negativity. And I'm not willing to go. Because it's definitely not God's fault. Is it God's fault? It's not. Does God care more about Fairfield than anybody in this room? He does. If we want the impossible to happen, we have to walk in the Spirit. Walk in faith to God. Let's pray.
Amen.
Father, I love that.